This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm Yaku. As you've heard, I'm just going to move. It's good to be here. I brought some photos of my family. We are the Janse van Rensburgs, so sometimes people hear the surname and then they connect you all over the world to someone. So I'm not sure, I don't know so many of you, I know some of you. So there's three kiddies at home, Gustav, Samuel and Lucy. There's a photo of my family that I can show you. So I've asked the boys and Lucy, it was her birthday this week. I said to them, give me one word to describe yourself. So Gustav, the eldest, he's turning 12 this year. He said, Daddy, you can just tell them I'm fast. So I said, okay. Samuel said he's quiet. And Lucy said, I'm amazing. So I said, is that now for us or just for you? He said, no, it's me. I'm amazing. So they all had their descriptions. It's a lot of fun at home. I love them very much. And it's good to be here with you guys this morning. Lee and the kids, they're there at Shofar Century City. I'm just going to pray for us. It's a special time in God's presence, and I just want us to, as we continue, we'll have another opportunity to worship. As Brian said, we just come and we just open our hearts to whatever God wants to do. Lord, we thank you that we can be here in your presence. We thank you that you have gathered us this morning, Lord, around your word, around you. And it's a privilege just to be here, Lord. And I pray, open our hearts, open our eyes, Lord, that we will see you. Open our ears that we will hear, Lord, the specific thing that you want to say to us. And Lord, we say, have your way in this place, Lord. Thank you that we can come here, Lord, and know you are Almighty God. You are the King of Kings. You are alive. We can hear your voice. We can experience you. And it's such a big privilege, Lord. Have your way now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, yeah, I love what God is doing. I get very excited about the Lord and just possibilities. I'm passionate about possibilities, things that can happen. I remember one of my favorite testimonies. There's a slide about a memorial wall that's up in my house where just we put photos or things where God has done something just a miracle. It's provision, or it's answer to prayer, or it's just something incredible. So I just put it up in my memorial wall that I can tell my children, this is the God we serve. So one of those stories is when I crashed my car in Cederburg. I love camping, and I just drove into a braai. I didn't see the braai. It was a brick braai thing. You must be there to understand. It was on a slope. So I drove away, we're going home into the braai, and then I heard. So I said to my family, just wait, I just need to get out and just calm down. And then I got in again, and I realized we can only go forward, we can't go back, it's again a slope. So I drove us out of there, and a massive mark on the car, and I drove like that for a while. So I realized it's going to cost a lot of money to fix the car. So I said, one day I had this thought, maybe someone must just crash into us and fix everything. And I forgot about it. 2 weeks later, the amazing thing happened at the robot. Me and Gustav, and suddenly someone drove into us, and I thought, maybe this is God. He just arrived here. And I got out, and the girl climbed out, and she said, Yaku. And I said, it's so good to see you. I remember you from studying at Stellenbosch. And she said, yes, don't worry. I'm working for Eskom. We've got good insurance. I said, it's so good to hear all of that. And long story short, we got the quotes. Eventually, they paid out cash just for the back now. And I just went to a guy in Goodwood, a panel beater. I said to him, can't you fix this? How much is it going to cost? He said, this is a big job. they paid out about, I think, 17,000. So he said, this is going to be like 3.5. I said, okay, what about all this? He said, this is a major job. This is going to be 6,250 rand. I said, just do it. So it was just amazing. It's a bit out of the box. I don't make theology and stuff around this. All that I'm saying is God is just amazing. And at times when I put my kids in bed, Lucy about 7:30 at night and the boys at 8 o'clock, and sometimes I just say, Daddy, tell us some of those stories again. Tell us testimonies. Tell us what has God done. And then I just start sharing. I can tell them not only my stories, but friends' stories. I can say this, Helmut, some of you might know him, there in Shofar, Durbanville, how he was in a service and someone prayed for him and his leg got longer and he sorted out headaches and stuff. I can tell him, Pastor Jakob Prinsler, it's in Pretoria, how they were here ministering to people, someone that didn't believe in God, and God gave him a word and said, what about your mother that's in the hospital right now? And the guy said, how do you know these things? I said, no, I just sense God has revealed it to me. And we can share those testimonies. And they said, Daddy, but tell us that one in Malawi where you gave money to the missionary. They loved that one because at the time I had my last cash and I sensed I must give it over and I didn't want to. So, yeah, I wanted to buy other things. And then I sensed, okay, I'm going to give it, and I handed it over and I flew back to South Africa. And shortly after that, I heard glass broke across the road from where I was staying. So we played soccer in the back of our home. We broke a lot of windows. So I know glass, when that moment when the glass breaks. So that happened. Someone was just entering that home. And there were some burglars, and it was a gang. And I phoned the police, and everybody came, and there was a shootout. So the boys love that part, because then I can say, this one, shoot that one. Or there was this bullets flying, and I dived behind the pillar. A lot of action. But the amazing thing is, the old lady, no one died. Okay, it was just some random fire. But the amazing thing is, the lady that stayed there, she phoned me afterwards, and she said she wanted to give me a reward. She handed me the exact same amount that I hand over to the missionary in Malawi. So I got that exact amount back. So that for me is just, that's the God that I serve. That's the God we serve. And that's amazing, because these things will be challenged. We go through difficult times. There's a lot of voices, a lot of stuff that comes to us from all over. Information are coming to us. There's voices, there's things that people are saying, and there's things that we believe, things that we think we've sorted this out. We know this about God. And then a lot of other stuff happened. There's these researchers in America, they're usually in America. In about 2015, they said they're gonna create a computer module, a program that will predict your personality. Okay, so they said they're going to base it on your Facebook likes. That's it. So they got a lot of people, about 17,000. It's a real survey that happened. 17,000 people. They said, fill in this personality profile. Then we're going to give it to your friends and your family and your siblings to fill it in. And then all that we want access to your Facebook likes. And then we're going to see, what do they say about you? And what does the program say about you? And we're going to compare it. So they did it. They said 10 likes. If they can see 10 Facebook likes, they know you better than your roommate. Okay? They said 70 likes. No, sorry. 10 likes, they know you better than a colleague. 70 likes, they know you better than a roommate. Because you've also filled in the personality profile. So now the match, that is what's happening. 150 likes. If they can see 150 likes of what you've put down on Facebook, this program will know you better than a parent or a sibling. Okay. They say 300 likes, this program will know you better than your spouse. 360 likes, this program will know you better than you know yourself. Based on data. Based on the stuff that, what we do, what we like. This is the world we live in. There's a lot of data coming to us. There's a lot of information. The challenge is, what do we believe? What do we say about everything that's happening? When I look at my children, they don't worry. They're born without worry. Obviously, they are blessed in that. And but I've learned that we start to worry and anxiety comes in as we get information, as we experience things on the one side. And he said, this is what happened in this situation. Maybe it's going to happen again. These are the things that are happening. And then there are the things that people are telling us. People are just saying a lot of stuff. Say, don't do this, don't go there, don't do this, don't do that, don't get up there. And through that, we almost created a lot of worry and anxiety. And worry is, a nice picture about worry that's not on the side, is when you get in your car, you put it in neutral and you just rev it. So the engine is going, that's a good picture of worry. There's not much happening. You're just wearing yourself out. Okay, that's just on the side. So, but I like that picture. That's what I remind myself. So it's so important that what we believe about God, what we say, these things that we hold on, that we make sure that it's right, to make sure this is the God we serve, to make sure this is God, that I know Him, I've experienced Him, that I can walk with Him, and we're going to get challenged on that. And I often tell the guys at our church, especially when we come into an amazing time of worship, what sometimes happens, we feel like all the stuff, all my sins and everything has come up now as we come closer to the presence of God. And He said, Lord, what is happening? And sometimes we want to run away. Sometimes we say, this is too much. I just want to run. And it is so sad, because that's why God died for us. That's why He came. He came for all our stuff and everything. And that's why He came, and we can actually draw near to Him. We can get closer to Him. But then it is so important that we know this God that we serve, that we understand Him, that we know His heart, that we know Him. Unfortunately, sometimes we think it's like, I've got three kiddies. Many of you have got children. You know, when you see something happening there in front of you, there's a fight starting to happen. I'm not just going to sit there. Because sometimes when you're tired or something, but I'm not just going to sit there and just let it play out and then they hit one another. You're going to react. You're going to do something. And sometimes we take that picture of God and we say, or we take that picture and we translate it back to God. We say, if this is happening, if I'm going through a tough time, if I'm experiencing this in my life, obviously God must do something. Because if He sees this, He will react, because that is what we do as parents. We see things, we react. And unfortunately, that is not always true. Sometimes it's just God's got the bigger picture. He's got the perspective. He knows what is happening. He knows what He's doing in our lives. He knows what He's busy with. What is He doing in us? So we can't just think that if God doesn't come and pitch up, or we don't hear His voice, we don't hear this is what's happening, He doesn't react, that He's not close, that He doesn't love. Because He's a God of love and He's close to us. There's a guy in our church, he was for a long time looking for work. I said to him, I trust the Lord for everyone there to have work. And he said, Yaku, I'm losing my job here. And then he had a second child, and the baby was very sick. So you spent, many of us spend a lot of time in the hospital just looking after this baby. And eventually there's so many days absent from work and his wife and other things that he lost his work. And later I said to him, man, we need to get a better perspective of what is happening here. We need to know what is God doing? What is he busy with? Because all that you tell me is what the boss is saying, what this one is saying, what that one is saying. But we're not sure what God is saying. And that's a problem. Because his heart, he just got hardened in his heart and he got cynical and all this stuff. He said, this one is wrong, this one is wrong, this one is wrong. They're all wrong. And eventually there was a word that I shared with him and we talked about it. And he said, yes, Jaco, that is actually what is happening. And in the process of looking for jobs, the one small group, he was there and he said, I realized that I need to surrender to God. I need to hand over this search for work and all the stuff that's happening. I need to hand it over to God. And when he said to me, Jaco, for the first time in my life, I said, I'm actually closer to God than any other time in my life. I said, man, that is first prize. That's the best. And after that, it happened, another opportunity opened up. But I realized that through everything that happened, he is now closer to God than before. His life has changed. And he saw some perspective that he didn't have in the beginning. And that is precious. But through that, we need to know the God that we serve. We need to know we believe in a God. And what do we say about our God? In the Bible, I'm just going to quickly, Matthew 1, with 18 to 25, we know the story, Mary and Joseph. Again, there's a lot of data coming in, and the one thing that was said, verse 18, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. And because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. So there's Joseph and Mary, and you know that it was very sacred what was happening there. They're going to get married. Now some other stuff is happening here. And his immediate response was to walk away. I'm going to handle this in the right way. I don't want to expose her, but we can't go on with this, what is happening here. And that is I suppose that was his thoughts. It consumed him. What is happening? Mary is pregnant through the Holy Spirit. He didn't know that at the time. But after he had considered getting divorced and everything, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And then you read, and Joseph woke up in verse 24. He did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary. So in that moment, he was going through that turmoil. He was going through everything. He didn't understand what is happening. And then an angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, this is God at work. This is Jesus that's being birthed. So he's getting more information. He's getting data. He needs to process it. And he needs to make a decision to follow God. And I realize often in our own lives, this is typical of what is going to happen. We're going to get a lot of information, a lot of things that's going to happen, a lot of things that's going to come our way. And we need to know God. You need to know the God that you believe in. And you need to hold on to those testimonies and all these things. And you say, Lord, the Bible says you do not change. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're still the same. And we can trust, I can trust you. I can walk with you. Even though in the natural things doesn't make sense, we can trust God. We can walk with him. And that's what I want to challenge us on this morning. I'm not sure what's happening in your lives at the moment. During the worship, I had a picture of someone standing at a fence, just looking over the fence. What I sense is you see everything happening there. You want to get in. You're not sure if you're going to climb over and just get in and just be part of what God is doing. You're just standing at this side of the fence. You're just looking. You're just coming. You're looking, coming. You're not sure. Maybe you got hurt in the past. You're not sure. Because there is a part of it when we walk with God. There's a surrender. There's a giving over to God, allowing him to come. And often there will be different responses. This is the thing. There's all these responses. We see it in John 9 to 11. We see Jesus. Don't worry, I'm not going to read it all. I'm going to quickly just touch on some things there. But in John 9, Jesus came and he healed a blind man. Firstly, he spit on the ground and he put it on his eyes. That must have freaked a few people out. I don't know. Just thinking about it. Someone comes, so I'm going to spit on the ground and I'm going to make stuff and put it on. Then you need to know that, okay, you need to be very desperate or something. But just to allow that to happen. But he allowed it. And it happened, and the man was healed. And immediately there's all these responses. Where the Pharisees say, it happened on the Sabbath. Who is this man? Who is this man, Jesus? What is he doing? And they're interrogating the man that can see now, the blind man. They're interrogating his family. And they say, we don't want to speak to you. Just ask him. And John 9:24, so for the second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, give glory to God. They said, we know that this man is a sinner. And he answered, whether he's a sinner, I do not know. So they're saying, give glory to God, this man is a sinner, Jesus. And his response is, whether he's a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see, that I know. So there's all these responses. There's all, you guys are saying this. I'm saying this because I know. I know my God. I know what happened here. And Jesus heard that they cast him out and found him. He said, in verse 35, do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Who is he? Jesus said to him, you have seen him. It is he who is speaking to you. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. That is the response. When we see God, when we see something of God, our natural response is worship. That's our natural response. So we will, for us, we worship. When I look at my memorial wall and I think and say, Lord, I'm so thankful. Because I know you're not going to treat me in some way and someone else not. You love all of us. You look at all of us in the same way. Everything is possible for all of us. We'll see wit broekies nie. And Jesus continued. So now some of them are saying that Jesus is a sinner. The man said, Jesus healed. I'm following him. And he's continuing. Then we get to John 10. And that's the famous chapter. But when Jesus starts talking about the sheep and the sheepfold and the gatekeeper and those that come in through the gate or those that come in over the sides and the sheep knows the voice of the shepherd and all of that. And he actually just confused them. Because at the time, he didn't say, this is who I am. He just explained it to him. And he continued, verse 7 to 10 and later on in John 10. And Jesus speaks about all these things. And eventually he said something. He said, I am the way. I am the way. So first he basically said, I'm gathering people for myself. I'm the way. Why am I gathering them? John 10, verse 10. The thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. I came to to give them life and life in abundance. He said, this is why I'm gathering my people. How will I gather them? I will die. I will die and I will rise again. I'm going to lay down my life for my people. And that freaked out the people again. That freaked them all out. Different responses. Because everyone can lay down his life. I can jump in front of a car. Someone's walking over the road. I can jump in there, stop, and car bump me, and the other one live. I can do all kind of things to lay down. But we can't take up our lives again. And that's what Jesus is saying there. I will take up my life again. And again, the people at the time, they were freaked out. And Jesus continued to say, I am, and then later on, he said, I am the good shepherd. I know my own. I know my people. And then he starts explaining some of these concepts. And again, there's this division. In John 10, verse 19, it says, there was again a division among the Jews. Many said, he has a demon. He's insane. Why listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. This can't be true. What is going on? And it's worthy to note there that there's no middle way. They say he's insane, he's a sinner. Say, well, this I know, he healed me. They say he must have a demon. Others say, no, we follow him, we believe. There's not a middle way. John 10:31, the Jews, they picked up stones again to stone him. That was the one of the response. And Jesus went from there, verse 40, he went across to the Jordan where John had baptizing at first, and there he remained, and many came to him. And they said, John did no sign, but everything that John said about this man was true. And many believed in him. Many believed. Just after some of them wanted to stone him, we get the next verse, many believed in him. Different responses. Jesus went on from there. Now he's the Mary and Martha, they're calling him. Lazarus has died. And we know the story. We know how Jesus just waited. And then there's all this stuff coming. If you were here, you would have lived. If you were here, this is what would have happened. You could have saved him. They're saying all the good things. They're saying things that they know about him, but they also doubt. They say, why did you wait so long? In the time of the Jews, there was like a rumor. For 3 days, if you die and they put you in a tomb, for 3 days your soul will hover there. Not like a legend or something. So 3 days, there's a chance that you can rise up again. Maybe your soul goes back and maybe something happens and ta-da. There you are. Jesus waited till the fourth day. 4 days, that's game over for them. 1, 2, 3, they thought, maybe we don't even need Jesus. This is just me trying to think about all of that, what's happening there. Maybe something can happen. Maybe that legend, that story that they were telling, maybe it's true. I don't know. And see, the weird thing is how these Mary and Martha and even the people following Jesus, they started to doubt. They said, what is going on here? We don't understand. It's really close to home. And Jesus came and he explained to him. Even in verse 23, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. And then he continued, do you believe in me? Though he die, yet shall live, him that believes in me. She said, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Jesus told her before this, he said, your brother will live. She didn't ask him. She just started to interpret it in her own way. She put her own words to it and said all these things. And then Jesus said something amazing. He said, take away the stone. And Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. They are standing in Jesus. They say, we believe in Jesus. You say, this is what must happen. Now you're here. You're actually late, but you're here. And now you're telling us to move the stone. And now they come up with excuses. They must just say, okay, let's do it. They say, Lord, there's going to be an odor now. It's 4 days. And then Jesus said, did I not tell you, if you believe, you would see the glory of God? If you believe, you would see the glory of God. If we believe in this God that we serve, we will see something of the glory of God. And that's what I want to leave with us, and that we must think about and say, Lord, I want to see your glory. I want to see your glory, Lord. I want to follow you with everything that's inside of me. Not only me, my family, and everyone else. And I know, Lord, this is happening in my life right now. These are the challenges. This is in front of me. So, Lord, I need to know that you are who you say you are. And that's a battle for all of us. We need to settle that in our hearts. And still, more data is going to come in. More things are being said. More responses are going to come our way. And then we need to, it's an ongoing wrestle. But it's okay. Because God is with us. He's close to us. He loves us. But like, if we go back to Daniel 3. Just before we end off. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We know they're standing there. King Nebuchadnezzar said, building a golden image. So everyone must come and worship before this golden image. When the music starts to play, this is what you must do. And then you must bow down. So sometimes I think, what if they said, Lord, I follow you inside. I'm following you on the inside. On the outside, I'm bowing down. It's like my boys. Say, Daddy, you say I must do something. On the inside, I'm not doing it. On the outside, I'm doing it. So there's a kind of a rebellion. So what if they were there that day and said, we're just going to bow down, but Lord, we really love you. We really serve you. Would it have been okay? That's something that we need to answer. Because they were there. It was clear what is going on. It's clear what is required of Nebuchadnezzar. And they're standing there and they stood. And they were called in and they're standing in front of the king. And then they said these amazing words. They said, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. But if this be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning, fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand. But then the more amazing thing. O king, but if nothing happens today, if we die, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. God can do it. They told him, God can do it. He can deliver us. He can save us. If not, we still serve him. If not, we still serve him. He is an almighty God. He is above whatever is happening here. He's above you coming, demanding us to worship you. We worship the almighty God. And that for me, that is something that I try to make my own, that will be my response. Not say, Lord, if this and this and this is happening, then you are amazing. Lord, you can do this. I pray for this. I trust you for this. If this comes through, wow, God is so amazing. No, I say, Lord, I know you can do this. I know who you are. I know you, God. I've seen you. I've seen you healed. I've seen you deliver. I've seen you coming through for us in miraculous ways. I've seen it, and I know you. But if it's not going to happen in this time, at least I can go still walk with you, serving you, and faithfully following you. and a life surrendered to God. Because God is still a God of love. He's still close to us. He's not just going to drop us. And these are the challenges. And then we see this amazing thing that happened when they say, did we not cast three men bound into the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. He answered and said, but I see four men unbound walking in the midst of the fire. And if they are not hurt, and they are not hurt, and the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods. The word says when they come out, they didn't even smell like smoke. I know you bry as well. We smell like smoke around a fire. They didn't even have a smell of smoke on their clothes. That's amazing. And in that moment when God were glorified, and then the response is worship. When we see God, there's a natural response to worship. That's when Nebuchadnezzar said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel, delivered his servant who trusted in him, and set aside the king's command and yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree. Any people, nation, or language that speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn, and they shall die. So basically he said, this is from now on, this is the God that we're going to worship. We've seen him. We've seen something of his glory. We've seen him. And that is our natural response. When I tell my kids the stories of all the testimonies, and I mix them up and I say this and this and this, then they say, wow, Daddy. Wow, this is so wow, Daddy. Then I say, boys, you need to find that out for yourself. God wants to give you your own story. He wants to give you your own story. And the stories that you have, those things that happened when we prayed together, where Lucy was sick and we prayed for her and God healed her, write it down. Remember those things. This is the God that we serve. Hold on to it, because there's many voices. There are many things that are going to come our way. Many stuff is going to happen. Then we need to know our God. And we do know our God. We can stand, we can gather here this morning like this. It's amazing to worship God in this place. And we come from all over. In many, many places in the world, this cannot happen now. So, before last year, I was sitting there in the bank. You know when you go to NetBank? You go to banks? I think so. They give you a paper with a number. And then they say, you are in the queue. Actually, the one that's on the slide is number 75. This is also number 75, but it's not the same one. This one I got this year. So, sitting in that queue, and then I said, at the time, I was really down. I said, Lord, you're the Almighty God. I know that. But also now, you can actually make me jump the queue. That they call out my number now. So you are a great God. This is a long queue. Maybe today I can jump the queue. And then they call T75. That's my number. So I walked forward and I said to the lady behind the counter, I said, why did you call me? She said, she's not sure. Your number came up. And that's the God we serve. We can jump queues. We can do everything. I tell my boys at school when I wrote exams, I used to pray afterwards, Lord, please change my exam that everything is right. And Gustav said, Daddy, you can't pray those prayers. I said, why? Why can't I pray those prayers? It's Almighty God. I said, I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just putting it out there. Just maybe. That's Almighty God. And we will be challenged. We will be challenged on what we believe. I'm not making these things doctrines and stuff. I'm just saying, Lord, you are amazing. And my response is to worship God. The man, there's a photo of me and a pastor of, you know, of Burma. I was standing next to him, and then he said, you know, in our village, I've prayed for two people, and I raised him from the dead. And everyone wants to know from me, how did I do it? He said, it's the most amazing thing. I go to these conferences, and everyone is asking me, how did you do it? And they say, you guys taught me to follow the Bible. You said that this is what you told me. You said, read there, we will do greater things than what Jesus did, and he raised people from the dead. So I just walk into my village that day. They rang the bells. This man is dead. I walk up to him, and I said, Jesus, in the name of Jesus, stand up. And he stood up. And I was very surprised, but he stood up. Now you guys are surprised. You taught me follow the Bible. And he said, I came to another village. And he said, you won't believe it. There's another guy. He's dead. They're ringing the bells. It's over. So I walk up to him, and I said, rise up in the name of Jesus. And he also got up. And said, and now he's famous, and he doesn't understand what's happening. Why is everyone so surprised? In his mind, it baffles him. He says, God, the God we serve is amazing. And then he adds every time, you taught this. You taught it to me. And you guys are so surprised. It baffles him. So all that I'm saying, there's a lot of stuff happening. There's a lot of information coming to us every day. We need God's perspective. We need to know what is God saying. And we need to make sure that this is what I believe about God. He is an almighty God. He is the King of Kings. But I love what those friends of Daniel. That is the part that I love. I know what God can do. But even if he doesn't do it, it doesn't change anything about my God. He's still God. And that is what the devil want to come, and he want to confuse us and say, if there's no response, God doesn't see. That's a lie. He sees you. He sees us. He loves us. He's close to us always. He's a God of love. So this morning, I just want us to stand, and I'm going to call Brian and the guys, we just respond. Let's just respond in worship. And maybe you have those battles, those things that you're going through. Maybe there's a wrestle right now inside of you. The rightful way to respond is to worship God. You can stand with me if you want to, and I know there's a lot of voices right now coming. But let's try to quiet the voices and say, Lord, you are God. And it's like that for all of us. I've got a lot of testimonies and a lot of great things, and that's why I have this memorial wall that I can remind myself about those things. You know, the challenges just keep on coming. Things keep on coming. There are moments where I just cry. I just cry. Usually I say Sunday evenings. You sit on your bed. Everyone is asleep. I sit there on the bed. I say, Lord, I need you. I need you, God. I need to know this. And this is the stuff in front of me. And what I do know, God responds. In his own time, but he knows. Let's just worship the Lord and surrender to him. I will give I just want us to sing first, and then obviously if you want to come forward, maybe you want to come and surrender. Maybe you want to pray with someone. And I want to invite you. Just come forward. Maybe you just want to come forward. You don't want someone to pray for you. That's fine. Then you can say, just leave me for a moment. or you want to come and say, won't you just pray with me? I need some perspective in my life. I need to know that God is hearing me. I need some perspective. I need that ticket that they will call my name. Then come. Let's spend some time in the presence of God.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.